I'm Jeannie.
I'm Rachel.
And I'm Nikki from Tyrion's Landing,
a podcast member of the Gonna Geek Network,
just like the one you're listening to now.
The opinions expressed are those of each individual.
Check out all the other podcasts at GonnaGeekNetwork.com.
And get ready, because geekiness begins in...
3, 2, 1.
This is the official GonnaGeek.com show. Here, we're a bunch of geeks talking about geeky things. Each week, we run down the latest news and happenings in the world of geek. These are your hosts for the show, Steven.
But what if I'm in the mood for a T-Swift story?
Chris.
I've heard the X is going to give it to you.
And SP.
That's how we roll on Gonna Geek on Monday night. We get crazy!
Gonna Geek Productions presents the official GonnaGeek.com show.
Welcome to another episode of the official GonnaGeek.com show. I am Steven John Drew. They call me the dollar store of the GonnaGeek.com show. And also with me is the Costco of the GonnaGeek show, Stargate Pioneer.
Well, greetings and welcome to everybody. This is unusual. He started by panning it to me and threw me off a little bit. Way to go. Way to throw your co-host off.
That's okay. I can do that. We also have with us the Sam's Club of the Gonna Geek show, Chris Harrell.
I got these lollipops at Sam's Club. They're delicious.
Speaking of lollipops, we also have the corner candy store of the GonnaGeek.com show, Mr. Suncast.
Hello! I like lollipops.
How's it going, everybody?
It was going well until Suncast used that voice, and now I'm concerned.
Super weird. Absolutely super weird. Yes, we're here with another episode of the GonnaGeek.com show. If you never checked us out before, first off, thank you very much for checking us out. We do stream live on Mondays at 8:45 p.m. Eastern Time to www.geeks.live. Usually, occasionally we have to back it up a little bit early, depending on arrangements and all that. But usually we're here on Mondays at 8:45 p.m. Eastern Time. But if you want to check us out live, check out the calendar at geeks.live. We do update that. And yeah, that's a hint that perhaps next week we might be a little bit earlier. So yeah, keep an eye on geeks.live.
Very subtle.
I know. I just spelled it out.
Very subtle.
It's
way
true.
To keep the suspense for the listener, Steven.
Suspenseful. So Suncast, it's been a while since we've had you on here. The last time we had you on, you had a different camera. What's going on with that?
Oh, I screwed up and broke a lot of stuff.
You know, I'm putting you on the spot here with this story, but it's a really good story and a good learning lesson, because it can happen to anybody. Do you mind sharing about that, or do I just have to edit this out?
I can talk about it. Yeah, that's not a problem.
All right, so explain.
I had a USB hub, a 7-port USB hub that was like ancient and whatnot, and when I moved, I never actually plugged the AC power adapter back into it, and I couldn't quite find that adapter anymore, so I just went looking around, seeing what adapters I had, because it's just, you know, you end up with so many of those AC adapters over the years that, you know, you find one that fits, and unfortunately, the one that fit did not necessarily give the correct power output and kind of fried the USB hub and everything that was plugged into it. Ouch. Luckily, I didn't have a whole lot plugged into it, but it did fry my my Logitech receiver, which I luckily had a spare of, and my webcam that was plugged into it. So, yeah.
That sucks. It's so frustrating when they do stuff like that, because it can happen. I wish they would have more safety guards. And SP, why does the space technology not exist yet? The secret NASA technology that allows us to have as many USB devices as we want without a hub.
Well, it kind of does actually exist right now. The only issue is that all the plugs are the same size anymore. You know, when we were growing up, you had a different size plug for each voltage size, and now they're just all the same size. So I ran into this actually when I was up the lake a couple weeks ago. I thought I had brought the wrong power pack for my laptop, and it ended up being the old power pack for my old laptop, which was 65 watts, and I needed a 90 watt. I dug a little bit further in the bag and found the 90 watt one, but it said it wasn't going to work with the 65 watt. It said it's a HP laptop, said we do actually power down for lower, but this is too low. We can't go with this. I'm like, oh crap, I'm gonna run out of laptop before I have to go home. I'm gonna be sad.
You know, when you go camping, a lot of times people ask the question when they play games, how low can you go? That's not the type of low we were talking about, SP.
I see. Well, in any event, I have never blown a USB hub like Suncast has, so my condolences are to him and his gear, because that probably smelled too.
Did you go with the C922 or the C920?
I just went with the C920, because you know what? I like the way it looks, and I've seen other people use the 922, and it didn't look quite right. I don't know if that's just because the people using it don't really necessarily know all the controls and fine-tune it correctly or not, but I know the 920, I know how it looks, and I like how it looks.
You don't like my look, that's what you're saying.
Yeah.
Yeah, fair. But that's nothing to do with the camera. But no, the reason I actually asked you that question was because it's so nice, though, that we live in an affordable time right now. Like, that C920 has dropped since we first bought them years ago. It's dropped so much because that 922 has come out. So it was so much more affordable for you to get into it now and replace that than it would have been even a couple years ago. So
I'll tell you what, though. Thank God I did not have my phone plugged in.
Oh my, I didn't even think about that. I've been
plugging my phone in a lot to my computer lately. So thank God I had that unplugged.
Yeah, for sure. Well, anyways, we're happy that you could be here and send your bill for the camera to Chris Farrell. He said he'll take care of it. So
I'll just pay you what my spare one costs. I got a spare C920 here because mine's flaky. I paid $15 for it. So I'll send you a check for $15.
That's pretty impressive.
Yeah. Clearance rack at Target.
All right. Well, let's go ahead and move on to the news. Here we go. In our first of two Microsoft news stories, we've got one coming out of Chris Farrell land for Xbox voice assistants. That's right. If you've been waiting for a Chris Farrell voiced voice assistant to come into your Xbox, it's here.
Yes, it's voiced by Tobor. Not me, though. Tobor voices. And that's an old school joke. If anyone gets it, kudos to you. But real quick, we're going to talk about digital voice assistants here, which means we're talking about Amazon Voice Services, Microsoft Voice Services, Google Voice Services. I might accidentally make a mistake, and say those device names. So if you're listening to this live or at a later date, reach over, hit the mute button on your devices right now, just in case I do. I'll give you like 3 seconds to do that. Okay, good. You should have that turned off by now. So we're going to talk about digital assistants here. We're going to talk about the Xbox and digital assistants. So I don't know if you guys are familiar. You used to have a peripheral for the Xbox One called the Kinect, which got depreciated when they put out the Xbox One S and the X. You could buy a weird adapter kit that would sort of make it work. But really, all Kinect was good for, it wasn't really great for doing video games or anything like that. It was an awesome voice recognition tool because you could be like, Xbox, turn on blah, 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 or Xbox, snap this app. It was really good at that. But once you upgrade to an Xbox that doesn't have the Kinect port, it's kind of a pain in the butt to use voice rec. You can plug the headset in your controller. You can trigger the Microsoft Assistant using that, but it's not quite the same. So what is going on? Well, Windows Central had a pretty cool picture and scoop that they got coming from one of the upcoming beta builds of Xbox, of the Xbox OS, whatever they call it. It's a variant of Windows 10. There is a reliable source that's saying that Microsoft is going to give you the ability to link their digital assistant or Google's digital assistant, or Amazon's digital assistant within your Xbox and be able to use them through the Xbox and or control them via your digital assistants in the house. That is kind of cool because I don't know about you. I know Steven's got a lot of Amazon Voice Services devices. SP's got some. I've got a boatload. I believe Suncast has one. And there's a lot of people that have Google Homes. Now you can potentially use those to control your Xbox. Tell it to launch games, open the marketplace, open the Twitch app. This would be really cool.
Yeah, that's really cool. It's nice to finally see. I shouldn't even say finally. That's a crutch word of mine. It's nice to see this happening because there has been a lot of development with different platforms adopting these voice assistants and really integrating them. And I'm so happy to see this happening with Xbox. I don't have an Xbox that would integrate, but I know that Chris Farrell is gonna mail me one.
Yes, exactly what I'm going to do. Now, one thing to keep in mind, this is all stuff that's in beta screenshots and leaks that have come out. Nothing is officially out, but a lot of the experts online, experts, let me rephrase, online are predicting we should get notification within the next few weeks, potentially even during E3 in a couple weeks. It is interesting, though, because the former Xbox console marketing lead, Albert Pinello, recently joined Amazon specifically to grow the Echo presence in gaming. They seem to be doing that in this case. Seems like a smart move. And this isn't the first time that Microsoft and Amazon have at least worked together, because I believe we talked about in this show 6 months ago, maybe a little bit more, I can't recall, but how they were going to combine Amazon voice services and Microsoft voice services so that you could trigger them through any of your devices in the house. So there is a relationship that exists between Microsoft and Amazon to potentially have their digital assistants work on other products. I'm pretty excited to see it move over and work with the Xbox One. That's pretty cool if it does happen. But man, just imagine if Microsoft kept pushing when they put the Kinect out with the voice integration into it, do voice commands, if they could have had the Microsoft voice assistant out at that point in time and powerful enough, they could have had voice control and digital assistants in everyone's houses. Because remember, the OG Xbox One came with a Kinect. You had no choice. That was your microphone right there. Mm-hmm. And if they had Cortana working at that point in time, then she probably could have been in everyone's house. They missed the boat.
Yeah. SP, I know you are an early voice assistant adopter. You also have some gaming machines and stuff. What's your take?
I actually haven't used any of the voice assistant stuff on any of my Microsoft stuff. So none of my computers, the Xboxes, nothing like that. But if it's integrated into the Amazon voice assistant infrastructure, which I already use, might as well give it a go and see what it's got.
I think the one area of your life that might have use for this is your family. I know you've mentioned before that your wife, I think it was the Harmony she quite liked. And so I could see your family really adopting these voice assistant integrations.
It might help up in the better. So we have the Harmony that's linked into the Amazon infrastructure, that's linked into the Great Room. So that TV is good to go. But the one up in the bedroom, it isn't. And you have to go through the Harmony rigmarole in order to get it going. But there is an Xbox up there. So if the voice assistant would work with the Xbox, if you could turn on everything that way, that would be great. I don't know. So, Chris, if it's in its sleep mode, can you wake it up via voice?
Well, you could with the Kinect in the past. If you had it in the standby mode, it was always listening. So you'd be like, Xbox, turn on, and it would do it. I don't know to what extent this voice services stuff is going to work. If they basically make it so that you have an app that you put onto your Amazon device that basically hooks into the Xbox, you could theoretically, without a Logitech Harmony, be able to tell your Xbox to turn on through that method. That's what a lot of people are assuming. Another article I read, it pretty much said it was going to be, you enable it on here, and then you have to put a companion Xbox app on your Google device or Amazon device to make it work.
So this is kind of interesting in the sense that Microsoft is more or less open now to the idea of using other Google assistants besides Cortana. I think they've made a pretty good effort with Cortana, but there's also just something about Google Assistant and Amazon's Alexa, where people are using those devices throughout their home, and it makes sense for Microsoft to kind of open up to those devices and those assistants aside from Cortana, because not only is Microsoft one of those companies that necessarily everybody wants to use whatever it is that's more popular to them, kind of like Android, you can use so many different other things with Android, whereas iPhone you're a little bit more limited, but with Alexa and the Google Assistant, it just makes more sense because that opens up more doors for what you can actually do with a Windows PC, because now you're not just limited to Cortana, and you might already have all these other Google Assistants and Amazon Echo Dots throughout your home.
It's an interesting trend we're starting to see with device makers, because there was a cool article I saw, I think it was an Android Central, Android Authority, on how to enable a different voice assistant on your Android phone. And theoretically, you could set your default to be Amazon Voice Services and what they are showing. I didn't try it, but it's built into the Amazon app. So there was a way to change your default voice assistant to be her. You just had to trigger it. You would not have what you normally have with an Android phone where it's always listening and you can say the OKG word trigger and have it do things. But you could make a word be your default assistant. Guys, this is really hard to step around not saying the actual trigger words.
Yeah, I will say that the idea of getting away from Cortana is always a good thing for me. So anything that might lead towards that, I'll go ahead.
Well, have you actually tried her though?
Yeah, I've tried her a couple times. I've not been wild about her.
For select things, I mean, I don't try her for a bunch of stuff because I have an Amazon system right here. But she's done an all right job of asking what's on my calendar, making appointments, finding weather conditions and stuff. Basic stuff, she seemed to do all right. I haven't done anything complicated.
Well, anyways, thanks for letting us know about this. And if you have a reason that you might be enjoying this or might enjoy this, let us know. Get in touch with us through any of the ways. You can find us at 567-343-GEEK. That's 567-343-4335. That's a voicemail line or a text line. Go ahead, pull out your old 1995 phone and send us a text. You can also tweet us at GunnaGeek. Finally in the Microsoft news. See, I could have saved that. Microsoft's nope. No, I didn't save it. No. Microsoft's apparently acquired GitHub. That's right. If you're not familiar with GitHub, GitHub, they are a repository of code. If you've done search for different code aspects before, different scripts, you've probably at one point or another come across GitHub. And the last time they were valued in 2015 at a $2 billion company. Well, guess what? Apparently, Microsoft has bought them for $7.5 billion in stock, and that's going to close later this year. Now, apparently, Microsoft used to have a code repository, and they killed that, I think it was back in December. So now they've gone, and I guess this is an area they want to be in. So instead, they just decided to go ahead and purchase GitHub. So yeah, that's interesting to see that happening here. So Suncast, you're a fellow coder like me.
Mm-hmm.
Have you ever seen GitHub before? You ever used GitHub? Or do you prefer GitHub because it's the whole GIF GIF thing. So
oh my god.
No? Just is that a no?
No, I've obviously used GitHub. I haven't actually used it as a developer very much, very limited in that aspect, but I've worked with a lot of projects that are on GitHub. Yeah, it's cool. It's interesting that they decided to just outright buy that. And I think right now the future is going to be a little bit in limbo for GitHub. Like, mm-hmm. What's Microsoft going to do with GitHub? Because a lot of times when you see these giant purchases, I think a lot of times people think that it's not going to work out well for that company that was purchased. And I could easily see that happening with somebody like Microsoft because they did buy them and they're such a large company that it could literally just swallow up GitHub and put it into something else. And you know how Microsoft likes to rename products. So.
Yeah, that was my thought too. The other thing that is surprising to me in this whole purchase acquisition is how much it's worth. I never ever would have guessed that it would have been this much. Now, that shouldn't surprise me because there is a lot of high profile people who do use GitHub. I believe even, you know, Google and Apple are involved with it to a degree. So, but it's surprising to me how much its value is.
If you want to enjoy some people melting down over it, go to reddit.com/r/programmershumor.
Okay.
And there's some great memes that are coming up about the acquisition of GitHub. It's been entertaining. I don't think it's going to be as negative as people tend to think it is because it's a slightly different Microsoft now with Satya Nadella in charge. The evil empire Microsoft, it's not that same thing anymore. That Microsoft has realized their future is not in selling Windows to people. It's in selling services to people.
So what you're saying is the good old days are gone.
Well, depending on how you look at it, that could be the good old days. I'm just saying that Microsoft's been forced to evolve. And what was it I saw? They actually have a bigger market value now than Google for the first time in ages or something like that. I mean, it's a different Microsoft.
What if you have to rent your OS? Like, they're renting Office products now. What if you have to rent Windows in order for them to function?
I want to do that.
You do?
Not based on all the freaking bugs that are in Windows nowadays. Like, forget that.
You don't?
I'm not going to do that.
You don't want to rent?
No.
Oh, I thought you said you did. I was confused.
No, 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 no. It's not. I'm sorry, but Microsoft Windows is such a buggy piece of software lately that I just couldn't justify a monthly payment.
Yeah.
And unless that monthly payment came with, you know, more stability than what we see today, then sure.
Yeah, I got to say this. I agree. On the flip side, if it was cheap enough, I'd be okay with it. If it was cheap enough, but I know that it never would be. But like, if you're looking at like an average licensing, you look at Office, for example, as an example, I wouldn't want to pay that much for a monthly, but maybe it will happen. Who knows?
You know what's going to happen now, though?
What?
They're going to call it OneHub.
OneHub. The real question is, what would they do, or what would you do as a Windows alternative if you had to pay for it as a service and you didn't want it? You gonna go Linux? You gonna go Chrome OS?
I think if they did that, you would see a shift, right? Like, you would see a natural shift. All of a sudden, a lot of these core people who don't have products for things like Linux, they would all of a sudden be there. You would absolutely see a shift if they went over that way. But who knows? Maybe one day we'll all be on our Mac OS, all four of us.
Yeah, I'm gonna be on Fuchsia OS.
Wow, yeah, we can FaceTime.
Yay, FaceTime.
And 32 of us at a time with our hand emojis.
Again, wait, spoiler alert. Okay, I'm so sorry. Let's go from one reputable company to another. Lots of integrity everywhere. We've got Apple news, right, Sungast?
Yeah, so this is really interesting. A week or two ago, I think this story broke from motherboard.com. They filed a lawsuit against Apple. And in this lawsuit, the judge released a whole bunch of internal Apple documents. And in these Apple documents, it had a lot of information about internal testing of the iPhone 6. Now, if you remember, the iPhone 6 had a couple of big scandals, one of which was Bendgate, and the other was notably touch disease, both of them ending up being related to each other. So this is kind of interesting. In these documents, it is clear that Apple knew that the iPhone 6 was more likely to be bent. Let me see if I can't find my stats real quick, because this is very interesting. So the iPhone 6 was 3.3 times more likely to bend than the iPhone S, and the larger iPhone 6 Plus, get this, was 7.2 times more likely to bend than the iPhone 5S.
That's a little bit.
Over 7 times more likely to bend than the previous iPhone. Meanwhile, Apple is saying, oh, nothing wrong with that. It's just, you know, it's the thinness of the phone, and that's just kind of how it is. But no, the internal testing shows that Apple clearly knew that the iPhone 6 was more bendable than the previous generation. And damage from the devices, you know, led to other issues such as touch disease, which I guess was the result of the phone bending and dislodging a controller inside of the display inside of the device, which is very interesting. So I don't know that anything will ever come of this, but it's very interesting that Apple knew about these issues from the get-go.
I'm shocked.
Yeah.
Shocked, I say.
All right, SP, for the audio listeners, they're not familiar that right now you've been basically grabbing all of your devices, all of your iPhones, and trying to bend them, and they're not bending. So how does this make you feel?
What do you mean? This is bending. Oh, can't you sorry. See it on screen?
It totally is bending. Yeah, you're right. So so how does this make you feel as a loyal Apple consumer?
Well, it would explain a great many things of why this thing failed. I'm holding up my iPhone 6 Plus right now, and this is actually a refurbished model that was sent to me, as you can clearly see by the sticker that I never actually took off because it's in the case, right? Why would I want to take off? So yeah, that's happened. And I'm holding up also this iPhone 5S, which is the previous generation right before the 6. And yeah, you can definitely see a difference. The 5 is not going to bend. The 6 does in fact bend. I was very careful with this puppy, but it does bend. So yeah, and not surprised at all. I think with the 8, which is what I've got two of the 8s in the house. I also have a 7, but the 8s have actually additional structure on board to fix the issue. So if you buy an 8, you're fine from now on. But if you have one of these older ones, you might want to hang on to it because the The lawsuit, the class action, actually might get you something out of this. I don't know what it'll get you. Maybe a lollipop or two, but it'll get you something.
I like lollipops.
I was going to say, we're it's aware. Too easy. I would like to say I'm surprised with this news. I would like to say that. Not surprising at all.
Why would you like to say it? You've been the Apple hater for years.
No, everybody dubs me the Apple hater, but I'm the guy that like regularly says, no, you should stick with an iPhone to certain people, because like, I'm not much of a war type person. As somebody, however, who had spent like a year basically with certain people not getting being able to text me because I moved away. Yeah, I do occasionally like to see Apple bad news come out, but I'm not an Apple hater. I just enjoy hating on Apple. There's a difference.
It's been an interesting trend with Apple lately, though. I mean, we've seen hardware issues more and more, which has been kind of not the norm for Apple, between touch disease, between battery health. Remember, they got busted this last year for the fact that they were slowing down processors to preserve battery health, which was one of the big conspiracy theories. And I subscribed to it at one point in time, too, which was when my iPhone hits 2 years old, it's so slow, I can't do anything on it. Well, they totally got caught doing it, slowing down processors. I understand the reason why it extended battery life, but they had to issue a mea culpa for that one and do like a discount battery replacement program for phones. So between bending issues, touching issues, and battery issues lately, it seems like their polish isn't quite there as much as you've used to seeing on Apple devices.
Did you say that Apple users have a touching issue? Is that what you said?
Well, there was touch disease. There was the touch disease, like Suncast talked about.
They have issues with touching. Good to know.
But none of the phone companies have been immune to any of this. You look at the Note 7 gate with the exploding phones. You look at the Pixel with their screen issues. Mm-hmm. I mean, all of them, and they're all priced about the same, right? They're all around $1,000. So none of them are immune, and they're all taking hits.
Yeah, but let's go back to Steve Jobs' Apple era, where it just works. I mean, there's a bit of a difference between what goes on with the current type of Apple products versus when Steve Jobs was there. There was a different level of polish on things.
It's true. And I got to say, I forecast this myself. This is the example where I think that it was easily forecast that this was going to go that way, was when they started allowing third-party keyboards on their devices. That was one of the first things that they did to open things up after Steve Jobs' death. And that was just the gateway drug, so to speak. And they started to allow more and more things to happen. And so it's become a less stable platform. I actually think a lot of these problems, if you look at them, are more on the software side of things than the hardware. Yes, we're talking bend gate today and whatnot. But if you think about it, like the battery issue, the reason they had to do that was because of big software limit pushing that they ended up doing. So they had to throttle the hardware to make up for the software changes. So I think that that's really their biggest problem right now, is the software side of things. However, with that said, this bend gate, right? This was, I believe, wasn't this the last Jobs Touch product?
I don't know.
I don't know.
Anyways, it was close enough, I think, that it's, I don't, yeah. I just haven't seen too much of a difference with the hardware myself. So that's all I wanted to say on that.
I just think part of what it comes down to, the difference here, is that Apple tends to be less than honest when it comes to these issues.
Well, and in all fairness, I hate to excuse the behavior, because I don't think that that's acceptable that they are. The reality is, a lot of corporations do hide things. Big corporations, a lot of big corporations, tech sector, have been caught. Like, Microsoft's had their own fair share of things before. So when you're looking at someone like Apple, which for so long had such a big percentage of the cell phone market, yes, these things are going to have a bit of a magnifying glass on it. So that's sort of my take on it. When you have that much business and you're that big of a company and you're that name recognizable, yeah, you're going to have a bit of a microscope on you.
But it's not just the phones, though. I mean, I've been on a YouTube rampage the past couple weekends and watched a bunch of dumb videos there, but there was a few I watched on folks that bought the iMac Pro, and there's an option to get a VESA mount with that. Well, they got that. They found out it was third party, and they wanted to take the iMac Pro off the VESA mount to put it back on the traditional swing arm to do some YouTube filming. Well, they tried to do it and the screws sheared as soon as they tried to unscrew them out because they cheaped out on the screws. And they found out eventually, a couple different channels reaching out to Apple, that what happened here is, yes, it's an Apple branded product, but they licensed it out and someone cheaped out on the screws. And then there was this, I mean, Apple made it right eventually, but took it to the Apple store to try and get it fixed. They just savaged his iMac to try and fix it. They broke the stand. They scratched up the whole backside of his iMac Pro, a $5,000 machine that you can't take off the VESA mount more than once because something went wrong with the engineering of a VESA mount.
Wow.
For their Premier Pro machine. And then they didn't have the proper support in store to be able to fix it. So the guy was without his iMac Pro, a $5,000 entry-level machine, for 2.5 weeks as they tried to figure out how to replace the VESA mount.
That's
so
crazy.
There's other issues here. There's things that are shaking out. Yes, Apple's making big money. For the most part, things are successful. But that lack of polish and the lack of prep on some of this stuff, it's starting to show up. And I'm glad I'm not an enterprise that's trying to do like enterprise level support with Mac products based on other stuff I've read out there right now. There's things they need to address. The spit and polish you used to see with Apple, it's not quite the same anymore. And no. I think it's because they've had to broaden their horizons a little bit because the iPhone market, that's not the future. The tablet market, that's not the future. Where Google and Amazon and Microsoft are smart is the hardware is just a way to get people in to use your services. The services is where the money is. When we talk about cloud computing and we talk about web services and things like that, do you ever talk about Apple? No, because it's not quite up to that same level. And don't even get me started on the free 5 gigs of storage you get on iCloud. That's ridiculous at this point in time. But there are issues out there. I'm not trying to dog on Apple. I'm just saying they're in the middle of trying to evolve into something else, it seems like. And the polish isn't quite there at the moment.
All right. Well, before we move on to SP's news story, SP, I have one quick question for you on this. Am I still the Apple hater after that? Am I still the Apple hater?
You will always be the Apple hater. That is the crux of this show.
Fine.
Is that Steven hates Apple.
Fine. Apple, how dare you?
How can I hate Apple when right here...
You know why you should hate Apple now, Steven? It's because they don't allow drone overflights of the Cupertino campus anymore.
Okay. Well, since I am being chalked up as an Apple hater, I will just go on record right now and say that my wife had to use her Apple Care, and it was quite a joyful experience, actually. It was fairly straightforward, except for
She had to use it. That's the deal. She had to use it.
Yeah, that's fair. All right. Well, let's go ahead and talk a little bit. SP is going to tell us about some success with virgins. Virgin success.
Oh, my gosh. Virgin Phrasing. Galactic, maybe. Yeah.
Oh,
okay.
Wow. Okay. That wasn't the news article I signed up for. Go ahead.
I don't know where you're getting your news RSS feed from. But what we're going to talk about is an article that space.com posted on May 29th by Mike Wall, who's their senior editor. And the article's title was Success, Virgin Galactic's VSS Unity Space Plane Aces Second Powered Test Flight. Now, remember, back in October of 2014, the VSS Enterprise crashed, killing both pilots as it came down. And this is Virgin Galactic's attempt to regain their foothold into space tourism. So let's talk a little bit about the article and what happened on May 29th, 2018. The suborbital spaceship 2, it is not an orbital flight, it's not SpaceX here, it's suborbital, known as VSS Unity, completed its second ever powered test flight on May 29th, soaring high over California's Mojave Desert. Now, Virgin Galactic representatives wrote in a statement that the focus of the day's flight was to expand their understanding of the spaceship's supersonic handling characteristics and control systems performance with vehicle parameters that were closer to the ultimate commercial configuration. This involved shifting the vehicle's center of gravity rearward via the addition of passenger seats and related equipment. So they loaded it with weight. During the flight, VSS Unity fired its rocket motor for 31 seconds as planned and reached a top speed of Mach 1.9 and a maximum altitude of 114,500 feet, which is roughly, for you Canadians, 34,900 meters. Mach 1, by the way, is about 767 miles per hour. And that's the speed of sound at sea level. So there you go. Now, the May 29th mission was the 13th flight overall for VSS Unity, which was unveiled in February 2016. So it's just over 2 years old. Four of the flights have been captive carry tests in which the space plane remain attached to White Knight 2, which is its carrier aircraft. And then seven have been unpowered glide flights. The other powered flight test occurred on April 5th, 2018. Now, the only people aboard the Unity for the day's flight were the pilots, Dave McKay and Mark Forger Stuckey, but the vehicle could begin flying paying customers as early as this year, 2018, if the test campaign continues to go well. Now, tickets to ride Spaceship 2 currently sell for $250,000, that's not Canadian money, apiece. Passengers will experience several minutes of weightlessness to get to see the curvature of the Earth against the blackness of space during their suborbital ride. Hey, but Unity won't just be about the tourist joyrides. The vehicle will also host a variety of scientific experiments to space and back. So that's it, guys. We got the second successful powered flight and an announcement. If their flight test plan goes well, they will have space tourism by the end of the year. Now that is exciting.
That's pretty cool.
So I should just start my GoFundMe now for the $250,000.
I think if you haven't had one already, you're not going to make it.
Okay. So SP, let me ask you this, Mr. Stargate Pioneer.
Ask.
How can this company have success now and have a success before and still call themselves Virgin? I don't get it.
I think you're hung up on the whole Virgin thing. I think this kind of proves that maybe your kids weren't fathered by you.
Next up in our extra extra section, Suncast, you're going to go ahead and give us a bit of an update on the crazy day that was WWDC, right? Like, you were all into this today. You were texting us all the time, all day. You were talking about WWDC. You were so excited. And we're recording this today on Monday, June 4th. So there's a summary that's magically in our show documents. And I feel like you need to give us a quick update about this.
I know, it just magically appeared. I don't know where that came from.
No idea. Okay, so what were the highlights? What were the highlights from WWDC today?
Do I have to be the good Apple guy here since you're the
I'm the hater. I'm not allowed to, apparently.
Straight up hater.
I know, yeah.
It's nasty.
If you don't know, WWDC is Apple's worldwide developer conference. It's for developers. It's where they talk more about developer-centric software that they're coming out with for the next year. So this keynote, they talked about iOS 12, tvOS, Siri, a few new things that are coming out, Apple Watch, tvOS, like I mentioned, macOS. So here are some of the notable takeaways. So they talked a little bit about iOS 12 and them doubling down on performance. So that's the big takeaway from iOS 12 is that they're fine-tuning iOS 12, which is kind of normally what they do with iOS, is that they release a version that has a whole bunch of new stuff, and then the following version is more of a tweak, optimized, perfected type of operating system. In the business, it's called TikTok. You have one release cycle that's, you know, that's all the new stuff, and then you do another cycle that's Tock, and that's, the fine-tuned version. So that's what they're doing with iOS 12. You've got some new shortcuts for Siri, and you can actually program all this stuff, which is pretty cool. So if you wanted to make something that says, hey, Siri, I'm heading home for the day, and I'm sorry if I triggered anybody's Siri because I just triggered mine. And you can actually set that up to do a whole bunch of different tasks based on that one phrase that you determined to have in Siri. So if you wanted to have pull up GPS directions, set your thermostat at home, and send somebody a message that you're on your way home, you could do that with one little command to Siri. You also have a new screen time feature that tells you how much time you're using on all sorts of different applications. This is kind of interesting. So now you can actually know exactly not only how much battery percentage you're using for each app, but how much time you're spending on each application.
Part of this, by the way, was interesting because they're trying to gear that towards the whole parental thing. Because, you know, all parents are told screen time is bad, which I disagree with,
yeah,
with that blanket statement. But
I thought that too, yeah, because they had a lot of parental controls added into iOS 12, which screen time is one of those things where now parents and yourself can actually control how much time you're spending on an application. So you could actually set it up so that after a certain amount of time, you can set that time allotment. So after 15 minutes of using Instagram, you're told you can't use Instagram anymore, which is kind of neat and good for parents, I guess. So, and I know for a fact that SP needs that.
Yeah, you know, if it would come handy with the ability to control smart devices like cars, yeah, that would be cool too. Just shut down right in the middle of the freeway. That'd be great.
I agree with that. I agree with it.
So, we also saw some updates to messages. They have, last year they introduced animojis, you know, these cute little animated emojis for, you know, animals and stuff. But they expanded that a little bit. Now you can actually stick out your tongue, which, whatever. Yeah. But then they also introduced Memojis. Yes, you can create an emoji just like a Bitmoji, which already exists. Oh. Sorry, Apple, you didn't get there first. And you can actually do that now in iOS. So you can create your own Memoji without downloading a third-party app.
So I'm old. Does anyone else understand why these Bitmojis and emojis are so popular? Like, I understand simple ones, like I'll give a thumbs up or the poo emoji for something that's really bad. But like whole conversations and emoji and Bitmojis and animojis, I don't get it. I don't get it. I'm old.
And you're not a girl.
You know, okay, fair. No, these
totally
are interesting
true
to all
no,
sorts
of people.
Don't I will go ahead and stereotype there.
No, I disagree. Completely disagree.
SP has empirical evidence, I believe. So,
I guess, yeah. But, no, I. Yeah, I'll just leave that alone.
You use emojis, I see. Mm-hmm.
Well,
when you're texting your wife,
sometimes I like to look like myself, like I'm a carrot. Okay, sometimes.
So you're Carrot Top?
I think you already do.
You're gonna have a show in Vegas?
No, I'm Muffin Top. Everybody knows that.
Oh, fair.
Ew.
Continue, Suncast.
So for anybody that doesn't know what a Bitmoji or Memoji is, it's an emoji that you can style to look pretty much just like you, where you can actually select how many freckles you have, hairstyles, beard styles, outfits, all that little stuff that makes it look like you. You can change all these little things, which is neat. But again, Apple, you're just copying somebody else now. And something that I know Chris asked me about today was the new group calling for FaceTime.
Mm-hmm.
So you can have up to 32 participants now in a FaceTime call. And I don't know. I showed you guys the UI for this. What do you guys think about the UI?
The UI is poop.
So the 32 people in the FaceTime is not for our generation, and it's not for professional use. That is for kids on a party line. There is no way that 32 people are going to be able to talk to each other without overstepping each other and not understanding what everybody's saying. So 32 is probably at least 24, if not 28 people too much.
I watched a demo of this, and honestly, I was very disappointed at how well this thing works. So the way they showed this is that you basically have little rounded cornered rectangles of each person on the screen and weird orientations. And when somebody speaks, their picture becomes a little bit bigger automatically whenever they speak.
What if they're all speaking at the same time?
What do you mean? It doesn't matter if everybody's speaking.
What are you talking about?
It doesn't matter at all.
But not only that, but it's like when somebody did start talking, it took a good while for that person's picture to become bigger. So they could say, you know, 4, 5, 6 words before their picture ever got bigger. So I thought that demo was not very successful.
Whoa, I don't know if I even know 6 words.
Right. See, that whole phrase that you just said there, you know, and the time it took you to say that, it would have taken the iOS 12 to actually make your picture bigger. I'm like, nobody okay, well, that's to useful.
See my picture bigger. What if you want to stay smaller?
But what about this? This lovely picture here.
That was perfectly timed too.
I was wondering what he was doing.
By the way, for the audio listeners, a Suncast does have behind him a picture of Stargate Pioneer. If you've not checked that out, head on over to www.ginnageek.com and you can check that out. What other quick updates do we have here from WWDC?
Well, that pretty much wraps up everything you see on your phone in iOS 12. We can move on to Apple Watch, Apple OS. They pretty much copied, what is it, the Fitbit? Because Fitbit does competition stuff now. Well, now Apple Watch OS does fitness competition stuff. And one of the things that I know a lot of people kind of requested with Watch OS is a Dick Tracy walkie-talkie type of thing. So now you can actually do a walkie-talkie with your phone. You have to okay it first when you first set somebody up for a walkie-talkie mode. Then you just press a button and you can talk to your wrist to another person.
Let's be honest, for our generation, it's not Dick Tracy. It's Power Rangers.
It could be both.
You know, speak for yourself. Just make a freaking phone call.
It's totally Dick Tracy for my generation. See, I told you I was older than that's you are.
You know, my Android Wear watch I have upstairs is a Huawei Wear watch, the first gen one.
Yeah.
And you can make and take phone calls on it, which I tried it once just to try it. And I was like, yeah, never again. Never again. It was a cool one-time thing. So this whole walkie-talkie thing on the watch, it sounds real cool. Kids will want to play with it at first. It'll get old real fast. It's just a neat little thing to play with.
So they also changed it. So now just the simple action of raising your wrist up to actually look at your watch will activate Siri. Instead of actually having to say, hey, S, now you just raise your wrist up and you can actually talk to Siri, which is pretty cool. You no longer have to do that one little thing to get it working. And you can also look at a little bit of web content on your watch now. So moving on to Apple TV OS, a couple of notable things here, I guess, some big takeaways. It now supports Dolby Atmos. It is now, I guess, the only device to actually be certified for Dolby Atmos, at least according to them. I'm not fact checking them at this point, but that's what they're saying. And that's strange. You can work with more providers as your primary viewing device. And they partly do this with what they're calling zero sign-on, which a lot of providers are already doing now. So basically meaning if you are connecting from your Charter Spectrum internet, it'll automatically detect that and sign you into all the Charter Spectrum apps and anything that is with your cable subscription through Charter Spectrum so that you don't have to sign into a whole bunch of different applications like ABC Network, NBC's app, HBO, etc.
Which they all default to needing that cable subscription anyway to activate.
Right, right. So they just made it a little bit easier if you're at home on that certain internet connection. And then they talked a little bit about macOS. So they're calling this Mojave. They're done with the mountains and they're moving on to the desert and calling this macOS Mojave. And they have what I think is probably a long needed feature is a dark mode.
Yes.
And this is actually pretty cool because it works OS wide. It's not just an app mode. It's not just, you know, one little app or one little thing here. It's an entire OS wide dark mode. It changes everything. It's pretty cool the way they made this look.
Perfect.
You got a completely different background. It darkens the Chrome. It darkens everything with that window that you have open, which is really nice. And this is really great, especially for developers that use Xcode. Why they never did this before now, I don't understand. But in Xcode, you know, a lot of people that do coding, a lot of times, they spend a lot of time looking at the screen. You got a white background, black text. You know what? That's a big strain on your eyes, especially if you're looking at it for a long time. Changing that background to a dark background with lighter text actually helps your eyesight, and you won't have eye fatigue nearly as much or as often with a darker background. So this is very much a much needed feature that they're now adding to Mac OS.
I gotta say, I'm enjoying the dark background right now. I think the dark background is actually beneficial even for this podcast.
Yeah, it's great to have a dark mode, Suncast dark mode all the time. Yeah, absolutely.
I like it.
Yeah.
Suncast After Dark.
So there you go. There's your WWDC wrap-up, roundup, pile of news, we'll call it that. Thanks to Suncast for compiling that list. You did a great job, Suncast. Your list was spot on. It was perfect. Yeah, yeah, just nailed it down perfectly. And
can I say one thing, though?
Yes.
I don't understand why they spent so much time talking about Animojis.
Stupidest thing they've got out there. Nobody cares about Animojis. Nobody.
Well,
nobody
Steven does.
I forgot this age. Whole thing. I honestly forgot it existed.
It's because of the Snapchat thing, right? They're trying to capture that, and they're trying to steal some of that.
They are.
Yeah, absolutely. That's the reason why they spent so much. But
I'm sorry, but dumb.
Yeah.
Well, on that note, let's go ahead and move on to Geek Wars, because if you're angry, it's time for Geek Wars.
I'm angry.
For those of you not familiar with Geek Wars is the segment we like to do here where we just like to ask questions is what it comes down to. So I am the quiz master and I will ask Chris, Stargate Pioneer, and Stargate Pioneer Jr. some questions about what exactly I have prepared. And they have to ring in and say their name or whatever name they have elected to say. If they get the question wrong, the other contestants can go ahead and answer the question, and we will have a score at the end, and hopefully that score is a tie or everybody has zero. Either of those is a win in this game, otherwise it's a loss. So do you contestants understand the rules behind this segment?
So there is no totally penalty for guessing wrong.
There's no penalty for guessing wrong, but you can only guess once. So the penalty is a lack of guess.
Does JS's bird get a chance to answer the questions?
There's a callback.
I miss Kiwi.
There's a callback. All right, so let's go ahead and start off with question number one. And remember, you can ring in at any time using your name. Question. And by the way, I forgot the whole important thing. I knew this was going to be such a heavy, heavy phone discussion episode that today's Geek War questions are indeed phone related, 100% phone related. So there you go.
Oh, this is going to be about like the Nokia candy bars, isn't it?
Question number one. What was the serial number on... No, I'm just joking. What was the model that debuted Apple's now infamous routine of mid-generation iPhone refreshes?
SP.
All right, SP, what was it?
iPhone 4S.
That is incorrect.
Chris. iPhone 3GS.
That is correct. Ding, 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 ding. That's right. It was pretty much they did the 3GS.
That's right. Verizon didn't have the iPhone until 4.
Fun fact, Chris Farrell here had an iPhone 3GS back in the day.
Where is it?
I traded it in years ago.
I got the 3 and then the 3GS came out and it was so much better. I was jealous. All right. So Chris is at 1 and the rest are at 0. Next up, question number two, what did the S stand for? Allegedly, of course. Anybody have an idea?
SP.
All right, what is it, SP?
Super speed.
No, that's not technically it. Anybody else? No. No.
Chris.
All right, Chris, what is it?
I vaguely remember, but
speed.
I can't.
Chris is right. It is speed. Phil Schiller said at the keynote launch of the 3GS that the S stood for speed. See, you had to take out the super SP. If you just made the joke with speed, you would have
it. Wasn't a joke. It was actually something we were discussing at the time. If you are going to disallow it, fine. You can go to Chris. I will... give him the point because he needs all the points
he can get speed.
Because he's engaged. And so I'm going to take pity on him.
All right, fair enough. Chris is at 2 and
why would you do that?
That's a good question.
What, get engaged or take pity on me? I'm confused.
Both. Both, of course.
All right, question number 3. What was the first ever commercially released smartphone to ship with Android?
Oh, SP.
All right, SP, what is it?
It was the Motorola Droid.
No, it wasn't. No.
It was on T-Mobile, the one I'm thinking of.
Anybody else?
It still had the little scroll wheel on it, too, if I remember right.
I don't know.
No? Going once? Going twice?
Because I was going to say Droid, too, but...
It was actually
the keyboard.
You, great job saying T-Mobile, by the way. It was HTC Dream. The HTC Dream was the first one commercially available. Which,
don't they still make that?
I'm not sure if they do, but I actually hadn't heard about it until I Googled for
that name.
Yeah, so I hadn't realized that. I actually Googled what the first Android was. And yeah, it definitely had the little middle button on it. You know, it was a thing of the past. Yeah, so
it's pretty crappy.
All right, so again, score remains the same. Question number four. When did the HTC Dream come out?
Oh, I can't answer this because I just looked it up.
All right, SB.
2007.
Chris. Incorrect.
Chris.
All right, Chris.
2008. It was after iPhone. iPhone was 2007.
Wow, Chris is at three, cleaning up here. That was a good guess. I didn't think any of you would get that. So question number five comes with more on the software side of things. Name this messaging app that was founded by two former Yahoo employees. I yelled Yahoo because of the exclamation
Yahoo.
Point. Name this popular messaging app that was founded by
SP.
Two former... All right, SP, what is it?
WhatsApp.
Yeah, it is WhatsApp.
Nice.
Yeah, the reason why I wanted to put this one in here is because I actually didn't realize that they were former Yahoo employees. Like, we all know that they're
well,
on my Facebook
I know
now.
The guy that started it, Nyan Koom, and I actually interviewed him back in, I think, 2008 or 2009.
Oh, really?
Then why didn't you get the question right?
Because I never knew he was part of Yahoo.
Oh, well.
Because he's Dutch or something like that.
Well... Wikipedia might have lied. What are you saying? Dutch people can't work for Yahoo? Wow, that's offensive.
Well, I wouldn't necessarily equate somebody that is Dutch with working for a U.S.-based company necessarily.
True, fair.
Especially well, how Yahoo. Do you think fair. Any of our tech companies gets anything done? They're all foreigners.
they're all...
all of them.
Yeah.
All of them.
Outsourced work, right? All right, so question number six... Name this series of Blackberries that were a change from the usual Blackberry style, geared to be smaller and easier to carry around. All right, Suncast, what is it?
Pearl.
It is indeed the Pearl. So SP is
nice.
At one, Suncast is one, and Chris is at three. Question number seven. LG and HTC are two of the most common names associated with building Google Nexus devices. Name... name two of the others.
Chris,
you get a bonus point if you get the third. All right, Chris went first.
Motorola and Huawei.
All right, so Chris got that point. I'll go ahead, and if someone wants to go ahead and put out the other one, we can go ahead and get that extra point. So we've got LG, HTC, Motorola, and Huawei. Who was the third? You don't get the extra... Well, I'll give it to you if you
SP.
Get it. SP, what is it?
Nokia.
Nope. Nice try. Good try.
I don't know if it counts, but Chris...
Chris, what is it?
Samsung.
It is Samsung. They did two. Because
there's the Samsung Nexus.
They did. Yeah, they did two. So, yeah, they actually did that as well as the Nexus S. So,
and there was a Galaxy S5
they did
Pure
right,
Edition
the
they did
S.
too.
Yeah, they did the Galaxy Nexus and the Nexus S. So there you go. So, wow, Chris is just dominating here. So Chris is at seven.
That's because Chris has had the most phones out of all of us. Because he gets a new one every 6 months.
That's not necessarily true.
It is totally true.
I get one like every year and a half or 2 years.
Yeah, but they break and then you trade down or something.
I've only had one break.
All right, well... In all fairness, we know that Suncat or that JS would have had the most experience if he was still on here with us.
Dude, so. JS broke the most phones.
Yes, he did.
That kid would breathe on the phone and it would break.
All right, so Chris is at seven, SB's at one, and Suncast is at one. So in question 8 out of 10, we have you're holding it wrong. Which iPhone experience?
SP.
Okay.
iPhone 4.
You are correct. Go ahead and finish the question for the audio and video listeners.
Are you talking about antenna gate?
Yeah. So what is this all about? Just go ahead and give the snapshot because the question kind of talked a little bit about it.
Well, the antenna was placed at the wrong part of the phone, obscured, whatever. And so Steve Jobs just said, well, you can't get it to connect because you're holding it wrong.
Exactly.
And then Apple gave away free bumpers so that people would hold it correctly. Yay. If you bought an iPhone 4.
All right. So question 9 of 10, what is the name of the design that Windows Phone OSs are based on? I have to have a Windows Phone question.
Chris.
Your name?
Chris barely beat
Suncast.
Okay, go ahead, Suncast.
It.
Windows 7?
Nope.
Chris.
All right, Chris.
Metro.
Oh, wow. That's unbelievable. It is Metro, yes.
That was the whole design logic of Windows 8.
And the last one, we're going to go ahead and we're going to make it we'll make it a six-pointer. We'll make it a six-pointer. Which phone gave us the most recurring segments on the GunnaGeek.com show?
SP. Chris.
Oh, SP barely beat you.
Samsung Note 7.
This is Note 7 Watch 2016.
2016.
It's 2018 and we're still playing that bump. I love it.
All right. So there you go. We ended in a tie, which means that the game did win and everybody does know a little bit more about phones. I was actually really impressed. I think that that's probably the most questions answered that we've had on Geek Wars. Usually there's several in there that nobody can get the answer to. So way to go. Way to go. All three of you, pat yourself on the back. It was a good team effort.
No.
SP's patting himself on the elbow. That's really weird. All right. Well, before we wrap up, let's give Suncaster Guest of Honor a moment to tell everybody where they can usually find him when it's not in the park.
Well, I work for GFQ Network, which does a whole lot of podcasts with some notable names such as Paul Thurrott and Spencer Coburn. They do hair loss and tech shows on there. So check out gfqnetwork.com. I'm mainly behind the scenes now, but I still do stuff there occasionally. So check out gfqnetwork.com. By the way, one thing I do want to mention is Face Off, which I know we've talked about on this show a couple times before. Face Off has their 13th season premiering tomorrow. And sadly, right now, it's going to be their final season.
Mm-hmm.
But
there is a petition going around, and they're trying to collect about 10,000 signatures. I think they're a little bit over 9,000 right now, so just under 1,000 more signatures to go for this petition. And you can go check out and sign this petition at geeks.link/FOFF. That's geeks.link/FOFF.
All right, that's very interesting. But yeah, geeks.link/FOFF. Okay, fair enough.
Yeah, so hopefully somebody like Netflix or Amazon or some other network actually picks up this super awesome makeup show.
You know what you could do, though, is you could go over to the Gunna Geek Network and listen to the latest On the Bubble podcast, which tells all about how campaigns can be successful in trying to get their show renewed or picked up by another service.
Yeah, no, that's a great show. You should definitely, everybody, check that out at GunnaGeekNetwork.com. Chris, do you have anything that you want to plug or promote?
Well, that's what I normally promote, is say go check out the other shows of the network. So, no, I don't.
SB?
Sure, why don't you go to Legends of S.H.I.E.L.D. episode number 241 if you want to hear 2 full hours of me and my co-host talk all about the Avengers Infinity War film. There's lots of stuff to learn from that. I definitely learned a lot by listening to the ladies.
And I'm going to go ahead and tell everybody to go over to youtube.com/GunnaGeek. That's our main landing platform for Gunna Geek. If you've not been over there before, we encourage you to definitely do that. youtube.com/GunnaGeek. There was a recent episode uploaded of, a recent video from Gen Con last year. It was in the can for a little while. It was a good podcast panel. So if you want to check that out, there was Stargate Pioneer, Michelle Ealy, Cody Goff, and
The verified Cody Goff.
The verified Cody Goff.
as well as his lackey, I mean, his keeper, Jonathan Martin. So check that out at youtube.com/GunnaGeek. Really good information in there. And it was an honor to edit it because I learned a lot, like what a podcast is. What? Wow, I had no idea. No idea.
It's a cast of pods, right?
So there you go. For episode number 242 of the official GunnaGeek.com show. I'm Stephen John Drew. I have myself a BlackBerry phone still running. It's weird. Not using it, though.
I'm SP saying don't bend your phones too much.
I'm Chris, and I actually do have an iPhone still.
I'm the rebel and I'm hot.
Bye.
Thanks for checking out another episode of the official GunnaGeek.com show. If you like the show, please give us a 5-star review in Apple Podcasts or a thumbs up on YouTube. You can always join us for our live recording sessions, which stream Mondays at 8:45 p.m. Eastern at www.geeks.live. And remember, you can find our full back catalog at gunnageek.com/show. If you're itching for more geeky content, check out other shows on gunnageeknetwork.com. Voice work was by Emily Prokop of the Story Behind podcast. That's it for this episode. We hope to see you back again next week.
And Chris has had to go, so we'll see if he comes back. See if he comes back.
And there might be a waterfall that we're watching on.
Yeah, yeah. Well, let's wait, because yes, apparently there's a water issue. This would make very good video podcasting if all of a sudden. Oh,
he's
there
in
it
the
is.
Basement.
No. Yeah. Oh, look, his Spider-Man's floating up. As long as I can get that Spider-Man to get enough water that's off camera, move over, and then we'll just refer to that as Chris the rest of the episode. So.